Lord, my prayer this morning is that these words find the right homes and that these words are truly yours. Amen. So far this morning, we've been looking at the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. And the moral it suggests is simple and clear, very explicit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And who is my neighbour? The one who treats others with compassion. And it sounds so simple. Well, it is. But when it comes down to it, life is far from straightforward. And this simple truth easily gets swallowed up and can disappear. So I thought it might help if we break it down into three sections. I'm going to look at our own prejudices, the judgments that we make, and our attitudes towards others, comparing the story as it was told 2,000 odd years ago and what that might look like today. Prejudice. Well, we all believe that we're not prejudiced, because it's been so much a part of our culture, learning to stop it. What my grandparents may have said could be, actually probably were, unacceptable today. But however hard we try, we still haven't really understood what it means. Back in biblical times, the reasons for the cultural prejudices between the Jews and the Samaritans were due to fear of the unknown, misunderstanding of the other's culture, and most importantly, lived experience. That road the Samaritan was travelling on from Jerusalem to Jericho was about 17 miles long, running through really desolate country, scrubland, descending about 3,000 feet. And it was notorious for being a hot spot for bandits and thieves. And in this case, Jesus concentrates on the highly violent ill treatment of the traveller. They left him half dead. For centuries, people called this road the Bloody Road. So notorious it was for violent assault. Why did the priest pass by on the other side? Why did the Levite do the same? Well, it was really because of existing laws that dictated their behavior. They had legitimate reasons as opposed to excuses. Both of them would have been highly instructed in their roles as clerics not to touch the dead. To do so would make them unclean and therefore unable to undertake their duties. The law was the law, and that was that. I now want to show you a short film before we move on. It demonstrates a social experiment using unrehearsed members of the public as they first of all see a rough sleeper collapse and then a business person do the same. Yet I remain shocked and frankly furious. Are we still so shallow and prejudiced that we prefer one victim to another? To be fair to the participants, I want to say that they too might have had good reasons to fail to stop. Not because of laws, as was the case in the parable, but reasons. I think you will recognize these. It's none of my business. I could get hurt, or I might do something wrong. I wouldn't know what to do. I'm in such a rush and I'm getting back to pick my children up from school and I'm running late. Or is it possible we blank out the things that we don't want to see? Or shall we acknowledge the truth that we might value the life of a homeless person less than a business person. Which brings me on to the second point I wish to make, surrounding the subject of passing judgment, us judging other people. In the parable, we all find ourselves judging initially the priest. Isn't it part of his calling to show love and caring for others? He really should not have walked away. And the Levite, we probably feel the same. Then comes the absolute shocker, the humdinger. Jesus tells us the passersby who stops and cares is a Samaritan. A Samaritan? A Samaritan? Filthy, violent, thieving, never to be trusted barbarians, or words to that effect. So that's three judgments we've made when we are not called to judge. We have no authority to judge. Remember earlier we heard about the dangerous nature of the road being travelled. Well, let's just flesh out that story a bit. That priest may have walked this road several times and perhaps witnessed muggings several times also. It's possible his own family might have been mugged in the past. If you see violence often enough, and it has directly affected your life, is that not reason to keep well away from further trouble? It could even be a trap. And how about the Levite? Maybe he's endured a beating too. And the human instinct for self-preservation is so powerful that any inclination to help others has been firmly squashed. And then comes the most unlikely rescuer, the Samaritan man. The Jews were clearly prejudiced against his tribe for their own reasons. Yet, he is the epitome of a hero here. I'm sure he would have been as familiar with the dangers of this road as much as the others. He may have been subject to religious or cultural rules as strict as the others. We don't know that. Yet something very different happened by dint of his behavior. Compassion for others changed everything. Which brings me to my third and final point, where we need to examine and evaluate our own attitudes. Attitudes are beliefs that we then turn into actions. Attitudes are a partial display of who we are. Well, we've all heard people say things like that. Oh, I don't know, that person's got an attitude problem. Or conversely, that person has a can-do attitude. Our own attitudes directly affect and influence our behaviours. And our attitudes speak volumes about who we are. Our attitudes directly affect the outcome of any situation. So what made the actions of the Samaritan so outstanding? Let's call them the three I's. They were immediate. There is no sense of doing this, or I'll do this tomorrow, or I'll wait for somebody else to do it first. The man needs help now, and so the Samaritan responds without delay. It's indiscriminate. That's two eyes. He doesn't care what religion or nationality this man has. He just helps. In today's terms, we might also assume that he would have taken no bearing of gender, colour, or sexual orientation. And the third eye is it's inconvenient. He has to delay his own journey, detour via an inn, strike up a deal with the innkeeper to whom he must later return and settle the bill. Well, Jesus asks us to do the same. He said to the lawyer, "Go and do likewise." These are two actual instructions in one short sentence. Go, do. Not, oh, just hang back a bit, or you have a proper think about it. Go and do the same. Now, it seems quite simple, doesn't it? Of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. We can't do anything of value on our own. So we need to be full of God's love ourselves. Fill up on his words and fill up on the love he has for you. Respond to him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind until your heart is overflowing. Remember that fizzy bottle experiment. Let's each be that attitude of overflowing love that can respond to a need immediately, indiscriminately, and even when it's jolly inconvenient. Amen.